Blog Talk Radio.
This is Great Inferno once again. It is Friday, the 19th. We are going to be talking about the, you know, just current events today. Today's scheduled guest will be Tom Murphy of AlliancesSecurityProtection.com. And hopefully will help me weigh in on this current events that we are currently going on around town and around the nation. I believe he's on the other line. No, Tom, you're there.
Yes, Roto, I'm here.
You are. Whoa. What's going on, man? Did you get snow today? Get snowed in?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of snow.
Yeah, I just got done shoveling, man. There's no fun. There's no fun in that. But how many, you're supposed to get, like, what, 6 inches or something like that?
Look like about 6 to 8.
6 to 8? Oh, my goodness. Are we going to get more or what? How about over Christmas? What do you think?
Looks like they're saying this weekend it's supposed to snow straight through. Monday it'll be clear, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, snow again.
Not over yet, folks. Not over yet. Yeah. I want to talk about more about your company and what you do, and. I know your name. Everyone knows that you're Tom Murphy, and because that's on my page. Tom Murphy will be way in a current event. I want to ask you some series of questions. I know that it could be people out there own their business that need protection, like need some service like yourself. Can you tell me more about you and your company?
Well, I'm the assistant chief of Alliance Security and Protection.
Mm-hmm.
Our website, if people are interested, is AllianceSecurityProtection.com. You check that out. Or you can call us at 608-393-5605. We're based out of Wanakee, Wisconsin, but we also have an office in Baraboo, which is right close to the Dells, Lake Delton area. We provide personal property protection, mainly property protection security for businesses, hotels, motels, campgrounds. Our armed, unarmed officers are all uniformed. We provide security for people at night to make sure that their businesses are safe while they're sleeping.
Okay. That's just a really, it's just because you need security doesn't mean you you live in a bad neighborhood. It's bad for your business. Is that right?
Well, that's true. Just needing security is not just for the high crime areas anymore. Due to the falling economy and the recession, you're going to see crime is going to be going on the rise. Very soon, and usually, yeah. Especially around the holiday times, there's a lot more break-ins and robberies and stuff like that. That's just statistical evidence will prove that. And it's not just for, like I said, high-crime areas. A lot more people are going with security nowadays just for the simple fact of knowing that their business is safe. Ease in their minds while they sleep at night.
Right, and also the liability reason and that. Now, with that, let's say hypothetical. Let's say I have a little motel or a hotel or whatnot, and I hire you guys. Would that decrease my insurance as far as
Oh, absolutely. Having security on scene does lower your insurance premiums because
Okay.
considered a deterrent for you know, the type of things you're going to claim against your insurance, vandalism, break-ins, stuff like that. So your insurance, a lot of our clients have told us that upon hiring us, their insurance premiums have gone down. Of course, you have to talk with individual insurance providers on how much, but...
Well, I suppose, just like, you know, if it's just like having a car that to have, you know, a security as far as, like, alarm, you know.
Sure.
That would make a significance. Now, what would the... I know that you mentioned something about the arm and unarm. I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, can I, like, let's say my property is safe. You know, I have maybe 1%, 2% crime rates on it. I mean, would I need a like an armed officer, or would that be my discretion?
Well, I mean, it is up to the client's discretion. The price doesn't vary as far as armed or unarmed. The way we look at it is if an officer is armed, in order for the officer to be armed, has to go through a 36-hour training course. So by getting an armed officer, you're getting a more intelligent, more trained, ready officer for your property. We don't just arm anybody. All of our officers are go through in-house training. They have background checks completed on them, and I mean, they're trustworthy people. If, you know, if I don't trust them, I'm not going to hire them, because, you know, if I don't trust them to put them on your property, they're no good to me. So, I guess, you know, to me, the advantage of having an armed officer is it's a good deterrent. It's a good deterrent. When people see security, like what I call T-shirt security, you know, the guys that just run around with the T-shirt that says security on it, you know, I don't take them as seriously. But when you have a fully uniformed officer that commands a bigger presence, and it tells people, hey, you know, they got security, this isn't the place to mess with, this is how we get caught.
Exactly. So, I mean, they'll think twice. And
absolutely.
You know, right. And, I mean, I know that... I know you mentioned about that, you know, they'll train. Is that the police academy, you know, training tactics that you guys do when you train them?
It's not necessarily the police academy. Like I said, it's in-house training that we do. We do some law, defensive tactics for our officers, self-defense that we teach. And just basically customer service, too, because a big part of our business is customer relations. You know, we're going to be dealing with our customers' clients that, you know, they want repeat business, so we want repeat business. So we're going to treat our clients' customers like they're our customers. But a lot of the training is done in-house. We've got some very talented staff members on our instructors that are very experienced in the field of law enforcement and security. Between me and my partners alone, we've got over 20 years experience in the security field. Not to mention our officers. We have a couple of police officers that work for us as well that assist with the training. All of our armed officers have gone through the Department of Justice's firearms training course, which is very similar to the one that police officers go through.
Okay.
There's a lot of training involved and a lot of knowledge on our staff.
Exactly. Now, are you guys able to carry, like, taser and all that, or how far do you,
Due to state law, at this point, security is not allowed to carry tasers. We have all other tools that law enforcement carries, though. The taser is the one that state law does not allow anyone but law enforcement to carry.
Okay. That sucks, man, because I would love to tase those people.
Well, that's
you know who I am. You know. Oh, there we go. So I like to say, you know, please, you know, talking to me, I'm just like, tase him, you know.
There's definitely some training that goes along with that as well.
Oh, man. come on. I can't just, like, carry a taser around and just, like, and if they mouth, you know, they start bad-mouthing me, just tase them.
Well, I think
that's
that borderlines of battery or assault.
Okay, what about it? Okay, let's say they spit at my face.
Well, then, well, if somebody spit in your face, I would definitely recommend contacting your local law enforcement.
Okay.
Because that's assault on their part. You definitely
assault? Even though they didn't touch me?
Well, they spit on you. That's, I believe that falls under assault with bodily fluid or something like that.
Hmm.
Which could open up a whole new door of.
Right. All right. Well, what is, you know, like, let's say you go on, you know, you punch in, you go into the property. Well, how do you, what is your typical, you know, duties from, you know, as soon as you get there, as soon as you get to the property? How do you?
Generally, once we arrive to a client property, what we do is we advise the staff that we're there so that they know we're there. Yeah, take a tour of the property, depending if it's a campground or a motel, walk the halls or walk the grounds, and just enforce the property's rules, whether it's dogs running around at campgrounds or kids out past curfew for the hotel. Start enforcing the property rules that all the guests are aware that they have. And then we handle different calls that may come in, whether it be noise complaints or guest assistance, depending on what it is. We usually are flexible in whatever we need to do.
Oh. Now, do you guys have canine also? Or?
No, we do not have a canine unit.
You don't have a canine unit?
No, we're not that advanced yet.
Okay. Oh,
we do
offer
patrol services. That's something new that we're offering is patrol services to the Johnson Dells, Lake Delton, Baraboo areas. Where say you don't necessarily want security on your property all night long, or you can't afford to have security on your property all night long. What we'll do is we'll come through maybe once or twice a night, depending on what your needs are.
Right.
Check your property. Just make sure that everything is secure. There are no problems. Mm-hmm. We can respond to alarms if you have, like, burglar alarm systems.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure that your property is intact. We can act as key holders. If law enforcement finds something wrong, then we can respond, write the report for you. And that way, you know, business owners don't have to get up in the middle of the night to check because, you know, the heater kicked on and blew some papers off a desk and activated a motion sensor.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how long do you guys have had this? When was this founded, the Alliance Security?
Alliance Security was originally founded in 2006.
Okay.
It started with three members that have all worked in security for security companies, larger security companies in the Madison metro area. They just didn't feel that they were doing the best they could there or didn't agree with the big business practices of some of the companies that they were working for and decided that they can do a better job as Lion Security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since then, one of the partners has stepped down and I've stepped into his place and taken over. And it's myself and my two other business partners. So.
Okay. Now, do you also service like a town, you know, or a mall? I mean, big establishment like that.
Oh, absolutely. We'd be willing to work with a mall
or a town.
If there was, well, depending on what the village or city's needs were, we were more than happy to work alongside with law enforcement and. Larger properties or larger areas. We're more than willing and able to work these types of accounts.
Okay. Now, I know that you do have to be like a first aid or CPR, what do you call it? Are you able to do performs like CPR, first aid, anything like that if needed?
Well, some of our officers are CPR and AED certified. If the
right.
tools are available to us, we'll be more than happy to attempt and help whoever needs aid until, you know, paramedics or EMS arrive.
Right, yeah.
We're first aid trained, so we can handle, you know, the stuff like that. If it gets beyond our scope, you know, we're not afraid to, like I said, call EMS or paramedics to help out. So we do mention that we are kind of like,
CPR.
We do act like first responders.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you're right on the scene, you know, if needed. That's key too. So, do you also serve as like out of state, like Illinois or anything like that, or you just have to be in Wisconsin? Was it different, you know?
Well, right now we're just operating in Wisconsin. If we need to go out of state, we would have to contact the specific state licensing commission or licensing department about getting licensed either permanently or temporarily for that state if we were going to be operating there. But right now, our licenses only allow us to practice in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, so, I mean, you do have to, you do have to be certified here in Wisconsin or not? Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay. I know that in some states, including Pennsylvania, but they don't know license requirements to be a security guard.
An
armed security guard don't. If you're armed though, that's different. You do have to have a license, and then that's what I read about.
Well, in order to be just a basic security guard for a contract company, you require to be a licensed security guard through the state, which means the state does their own background check.
Right.
To make sure that, you know, you're on the up and up.
If I own a property, and I would want my, you know, security or whoever's, you know, overlooking my property to be licensed, you know.
Right.
Be trained.
You know, bigger companies hire their own security, they don't require licensed officers or any additional, like, insurance or anything like that. Like, most of your hotels, like, larger resorts and casinos and stuff like that, all their security officers that they have are unlicensed, which, you know, is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. You don't really know who you're getting into. You don't get as thorough of a background check as a licensed security officer. Plus, my company carries our own insurance. So you don't need to pick up any type of extra insurance to carry security. We have our own insurance for it.
Right.
And, I mean, like I said before, your insurance will end up going down because you have the security there.
Exactly. And I know that, that there's a lot of, like, security and all this, a lot of criticism that goes along with it. You know, a lot of people, you know, establishments, you know, I've heard those people say, you know, it's a waste of time, but I don't think it is. Right? I don't think it's a matter of opinion. It's just a matter of, you know, I mean, you got to look at the numbers, you know. I mean, there's a lot of establishment out there that don't have security, and, you know, and they pay their price, you know. Now, do you also service, like, I mean, how small is the property? Because residential. Do you service residential? Like, let's say I own a home,
totally,
you know, business.
Residential. If you own your home and you want to go on vacation for a week or so, and you want us to come by and check and make sure that, you know, the doors are locked, the windows aren't broken, we're more than able to do that, more than happy to do that.
That's a plus right there, man, because, I go on vacation, like, once every 2 years. kidding. That's pretty cool.
Especially if you live in a little higher pricey range, you know, more expensive housing area, you know. You know, people know what kind of houses or what's in houses by looking at, you know, a nicer house has nicer things in it. So,
right,
you
exactly.
know, people wait when you leave, and that's when they'll, you know, break into your house. So, yeah, you know, we're more than willing to contract for residences or apartments. We'll do apartment properties, you know, check apartment buildings, make sure that there's no problems in them. If you have tenants that are constantly throwing parties and receiving noise complaints, I'm more than happy to deal with that sort of stuff.
That's pretty cool, man. Could you tell me more? I don't know if you know it, but the history of security officer. Do you know anything about that?
Well, the history of security is actually pretty simple. It's people wanted to have, you know, way back when crime was on the rise and police weren't able to keep up. Security really was formed as a private police for people to have on their property to make sure that nothing was going to happen to their property. You know, that way, you know, if the police are busy with, you know, this over here, as long as you have security, you know nothing's going to happen or it's less likely to happen to your property. So, I mean, security is basically a private police force, like I said. Allows people to have the security and peace of mind to know that nothing's going to happen.
Right, and it goes back to like the Middle Ages. You know, there's actually there's a group that was formed. This is like Middle Ages, way back when. There's a group or the villager, I think, that they called a watchman's chair, I believe, and it's just a group of people that actually overlook, or it's just like a neighborhood watch, you know, and
like
it was actually in it,
I'm listening.
Yeah, like a neighborhood watch, and back in it was 18th century or something like that,
you know, a lot farther back. We look at, you know, when, you know, the kings had the castles and that, and they had knights, which were nothing more than, you know.
The village would have their soldiers, you know, like now would be like, you know, the police officer, and then they will also have, they call the watchmen or the watchman chairs to overlook the neighborhood's activity, you know, and start from there. Now, that's pretty cool. And I was reading that the other day, and I was like, that makes a lot of sense, man, you know? I mean, and they did get paid. I don't know what, you know, they didn't have money back then. I think they had, like, pigs and, you know, chickens and potatoes. You know, now it's like, you know, you guys get paid with money.
With pigs and potatoes.
No, are you... you guys are not in a union, are you?
No, we're not. We're not union.
Okay. We're not union, okay.
You know, if any of our employees have an issue, they are more than welcome to contact myself or one of my partners.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we pretty much have like an open door policy sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what I read on the article about that. It's just what that started having problems with. Securities that has, you know, they unionize or, you know, belong to a union agent, what they call. It's a good thing. It's a plus because that's a lot of, you know, it's like if I'm a business owner and my business concept, you know, business minded person like me, I would not, you know, hire anyone like it, especially overlooking my property to be unionized because it's just me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'm a firm believer. I'm kind of old school. You know, if you have a problem, you talk about it. You don't go and say, well, this is this and this should be that. You know, you don't need to whine about it. You talk about it. You know, if I've got a problem with something, I talk with my partners. Or if, you know, my employees have a problem with something, I expect them to be able to come and talk to me about it.
Okay. Now, do you service or offer any, like, private security, like let's say I became famous tomorrow, you know, just you know, paparazzis or, you know, just like in general, could I contact you guys and say, hey, Tom, I mean, I need security here, you know,
we do offer private personal protection. You know, like we were contracted. What's that?
Because I might I'm gonna need you someday, man. I'm gonna be big as Dan Macro, man.
I expect a phone call then. So. Yeah, we do offer personal private protection. We can act as escort service or like bodyguard sort of, so to speak.
Right.
That is one of our services that we offer.
All right. And let's say I'm a famous person. I'm coming up to Wisconsin Dells, you know, staying up to one of the resort up there. And, you know, feel like my, you know, that I need a security. I mean, I can contact you, can I?
Absolutely. We're more than flexible with our officers and our hours. We're willing to service any type of, you know, celebrity or person that believes they need protection.
Do you have email or 800 number or a phone number that they can contact you guys?
Like I said, our phone number you can reach us at is area code 608-393-5605, or you can email us or contact us through our website, which again is alliancesecurityprotection.com.
Okay, and I'm going to take a little, like maybe a 20-second break here, and then we'll go into a current event, shall we, Tom?
Sounds good.
I guess we're back. Once again, this is Great Inferno. Welcome to my show. It's half an hour. We're going to a second segment right now. We are going to be talking about the current events and what's going on, what's buzzing around the country, or local, or whatnot. My guest is from AllianceSecurityProtection.com, Tom Murphy. Are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Yes, you are. Man, we talked about a lot about security, being, you know, getting protected and security and all. Everything we talked about. If you guys missed it, it's going to be podcasted. You can go to blocktalkradio.com, /Great Inferno. You can podcast it, download it to your iPod or iTunes, or just download it into your computer. You know, whatever makes you happy, you can do that. The first thing I want to talk about here, Tom, is the you ever heard of this guy, the shoe throwing bandit?
Yeah.
That's true. Shoes at President Bush, and he actually hailed as like a local hero in Iraq. And there is a website right now that is actually sympathizing, or like, you know, kind of giving him the spotlight. It's called ThankYouForThrowingYourShoe.com. You know, it's hilarious. It's like, what is this people doing? You know. What's your take on that, Tom Murphy, as a you know, security officer yourself? I know that when I seen a video, I sort of, you know, there was like, you know, there was just like maybe a 5 seconds delay before the agent can get there. I mean, that the journalism themselves doesn't want to tackle the guy, the agent or security of the president came from behind him, you know. No, what's your take on that? As far as like security, what would you have done?
Well, I can't argue with what the Secret Service does. They do a great job of protecting the president. They have a lot on their plate, a lot that they need to do, and a lot that they need to worry about. A whole lot more than I have to worry about, I'm sure. But you know, if there was, you know, 5 seconds, I'm sure that these, you know, the agent got there as fast as he could to figure out what was going on.
There was like a lot of criticism on that. It's like, man, they, you know, where was a secret agent and all that? I'm like, hey, they don't know what's going on. Where, you know, it's supposedly a secluded, you know, protected area because there's just a bunch of nothing but journalists, you know, and they just kind of came out of nowhere and threw a shoe at the president. I mean, it's, I strongly agree with you that, You know, I mean, they don't know what's going on. They have to find out what's going on first before they can act.
Right. I mean, and part of the thing that, you know, myself and my guys do is we analyze the situation before we get into it, simply to protect ourselves before we, you know, go in and act. You know, it doesn't do any good to go into a situation that you're going to get it hurt going into. So, you know, if it takes you a second or two to analyze what's going on and then move in, yeah, I can't fault the guy for doing that. And, you know, I'm sure with it being strictly a room full of journalists, they didn't expect anything like that, so it may have caught
them
off guard.
Exactly. It was totally unsuspected and unexpected. And also, I mean, like what I mentioned earlier, that this, you know, they secured a service that came from the other room. I strongly agree that, you know, there's a lot more. I think I saw like maybe four or five security agents that, you know, that tried to protect the president. And I want to talk about this people that that built a site called you know, thank you for throwing his shoe .com. I know they are, you know, people on the left, people that, those are Bush haters, and those are basically their you know, the nut roots. I mean, the what they called the hippies. Now in Beirut, actually in the classroom, they have an effigy of President Bush with the shoe on top of them. And all over the world, I mean, all over the Middle East, I mean, they're hailed. This guy's like I said, hailed as a local hero, and now they're trying to sympathize by saying that that he was beaten, that, you know, they're not treating him right, that he should be, he deserved pardon, you know, by Maliki, whoever that guy from Iraqi. I mean, that's like a Tom. Do you think that, I mean, he deserves to be pardoned? Like, I mean, he's facing like maybe, I don't know how many years, a lot of years, I think, in prison. Do you think he should be pardoned for his crime?
No, I don't believe so. I think he should pay for the crime that he has done. I don't think he should be, depending on whatever the penalty is. I don't know if, you know, all that many years for throwing a shoe is necessary, but I don't think you should get away for free, you know.
Right. And Bush haters and all that, whether it be like celebrities, whether it be like, you know, politicians all over the world, you know, they're trying to politicalize everything. And, you know, they're trying to say that, oh, yeah, he just expressed his feelings, and that's what's, you know, 90% of Iraqis feeling towards the United States. And I mean, I totally disagree with the media and what they're trying to say, and what they're trying to portray here, that, you know, even though he acted cowardly and he acted that way, that he, you know, we're supposed to embrace that he's our like heroes and, you know, on freedom of speech kind of type of, you know.
Here's the thing on that, you know. Everyone's calling him brave, and you know, it's probably true he is brave for doing that, because he actually put actions towards what he feels. You know, everyone else, all these celebrities and other politicians, all they do is talk. They use their power to talk and say what they want, and everyone's supposed to believe them because they're so popular, and, you know, a popular celebrity like Oprah. Everybody's supposed to believe what she says because she's Oprah. And I don't think that's right, because they don't do anything. All they do is talk. You know, this guy actually had the stuff to, you know, go ahead and make actions with what he was saying. You know, he didn't like President Bush, so he threw a shoe at him.
Yeah, and there's a lot of analysis goes with that, and there's an analysis. You know, they're trying to analyze, like, why throwing shoes? You know, and I was reading an article about that, and said, because that's the lowest thing that you can do to an animal, or, you know, that's, it goes with the feet and with, you know, how dirty you are if you're throwing shoes at you. And I'm like, oh, okay, and this is just getting out of hand. He's just like, you know, it's kind of distracting the fact that this guy, you know, represented or trying to represent, trying to ruin the relationship between the Iraq and the United States. and or Middle East and, you know, the Western people in that case. I mean, that's my just my opinion. And again, they're trying to say that, so, you know, there was a protest out there and saying, release a shoe thrower, you know, let's march on. And they made a website and saying that, you know, thank you for throwing your shoes. And there's a bunch of people with their pictures on it with shoes that, and they're like, you know, act like they were coming to throw shoes. And I just emailed them. I'm like, you know, how about if I throw that right in your face? You know, it's you know, I acted. That was wrong. I do apologize, but I was mad. You know, I was mad.
Right to freedom of speech also and personal preference.
Yeah, yeah. It's, there you go. It's freedom of speech. I know that Iraq and Iran and all Iranians and all that and they, you know, again, they're hailing them as like a local here on that. I mean, if you ever, let's say you come across with, you know, Bush haters or whatnot and saying, you know, saying all this rhetoric about, yeah, he deserves it. And because I listened to radio just a couple of days ago, they were saying that he deserved that, he deserved this and he deserved that because he killed so many people and all that. I mean, what would you say to them, Tom?
Well, you know, the presidency has got to be one of the hardest jobs simply because everybody in the world watches your every move. You know, you can't make a wrong decision and say, oops, well, I'll learn from it, you know, and move on. You know, it's hard to, you know, fault a guy for every failure that he's made or every mistake he's made. Now, granted, I don't agree with every decision he's made throughout
right.
his term, but,
same here, yeah.
you know, for everyone to say, oh, you know, worst president ever, you know, I'd like to, you know, you never really know what it's like until you're wearing those shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's take a caller over here. This is, I believe this is my wife again, Tom. This doc's talking to you. Hold on a second. Go on, Dawn.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. Just chatting away over here.
Good.
You got a question for Tom?
I think that you asked him, but I didn't hear his answer. But so, like, when we're making thousands of dollars a month, I guess the question is, when we're, like, making $10,000 a month with our business, we're going to need bodyguards. Are you willing to travel internationally?
Well, we would be willing to. We probably would have to go through the proper channels, but I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So that's good.
We just have to make sure all the paperwork is filed properly.
Do you like kids?
I'm sorry?
Do you like kids?
I love kids. I can't speak for, you know, any of my other partners, but I know my chief has two daughters of his own. My other partner's got two daughters. A lot of our officers have kids of their own, so we're pretty kid friendly. I think you have to be to work in this area.
Okay, good.
Right?
We have five. We have five kids, and we need help in the airport. So.
Well, we could probably just chain them all together with handcuffs and on our way.
Right. Make sure they all stay put and close to us.
That's right.
All right. That's good to know. So, because, you know, we look for people that will travel with us, you know, to help out with the kids and stuff.
Absolutely. We're more than willing, you know, the company is more than willing to do whatever it takes to keep our clients happy.
Do you have a flat rate or...
Well, it's going to be different from person to person, so we encourage our customers to call for a consultation.
Okay. It's good to know. All right,
good.
You can go ahead and keep talking. I'll listen in.
Oh, okay. I want you, Don, a comment on this real quick. We're talking about the shoe throwing guy, that guy that threw a shoe that's the president. You've seen this? Okay. They're saying they want him pardoned. They want him released because, you know, he's just doing everyone a favor as far as like you know, freedom of speech, whatnot. What's your take on that? Do you think he should be pardoned?
No. Because it's supposed to be like, you know, that's disrespectful, throwing a shoe. I don't think the maximum I think he should have to do is 20 years for that.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, 20
years?
Huh?
Jeez, Frodo, what happens when you don't do the dishes?
I don't know. I don't want to find out, I'll tell you. yeah. So what about this people out there, Don, that, you know, sympathizing him, that's just kind of, you know, lifting him up and saying, you know, he's a hero. Let's give him whatever he wants. And what do you say to them?
Well, I thought it's a crime even to say something bad about the president, but or like I don't
More.
Know. It used to be, but not anymore, I guess. So I mean, like throwing a. Did he actually hit the president?
No, I missed it twice.
Missed him. So
yeah.
He ran out of ammo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. He's. I heard that he tried to borrow the some of the shoes from other journalists, and they're like, what? "Are you crazy? This is Prada." No, just kidding. That's just a joke. So what do you say to them, Don? I mean, let's say they come up to you and said, "Hey, have you heard about that news? Have you seen the news about that guy throwing shoes at the president? Well, the president deserves it." What do you say to them?
I would say that. Well, like from a Christian perspective, are you saying hypothetically or from a Christian perspective?
Well, both.
Okay, well, I would say that you shouldn't even talk about the president. Even if you disagree with him, you need to pray for him. And,
right.
I mean, who are you to throw anything at anybody? How would you like it if you were a president, have almost the whole weight of the world on your shoulders, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then people telling you that you're not doing a good enough job? I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, not exactly like, but remember in the movie Bruce Almighty? Like,
yeah.
You know, the guy's like, "God, why don't you answer, you know, my prayers and stuff like that?" And then he's like, so when God gave him a taste of it, you know, and he
mm-hmm.
answered yes to everybody, I mean, what happened? Nobody was happy. So, I mean, you have to make rules, and people are not always going to be happy. And I'm thankful that President Bush has the Lord Jesus to call on to because, I mean, being a president of the United States of America is pretty hard work compared to probably even the other parts
that, yeah.
of the world. So that's
yep.
what I would probably say, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel the same thing. Same thing. And Tom would agree with us on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we pounded that enough. And I think I want to switch topic over here. And shall we? Should we switch topic, Tom?
I'm switched already.
You're switched already. There you go. We got to switch topic here. We pounded that shoe-throwing guy, so we are going to, you know, do the little Hitler thing. Okay, here, listen to this, okay? Little Hitler, a three-year-old boy called Adolf Hitler Campbell, has been refused a piece of birthday cake with his name on it in a New Jersey supermarket. Heath Campbell, you know, the dad and his wife, Deborah, they say they are upset that the decision made by their local is shopping grocery thingy to write happy birthday out of Hitler across the cake, and that people needed to move forward on that. And this is what this is all over the news now because the you know a lot of you know people were saying that they should give him the cake and you know move on. And here's my question though, I mean what kind of parents? I mean this guy Heath Campbell is the dad and the wife is about 25, so. They are both well aware of the, you know, the history of Adolf Hitler, you know, what he's done and what, you know, what was the outcome of it. What kind of parents would name their kid Adolf Hitler, Tom? What kind of parents are they?
Dumb. That is just, yeah, I don't understand the rationale behind that.
No, it makes no sense
to me.
Yeah, it just doesn't make it doesn't make sense to me. Now they're sympathized with by you know Jew haters and all that people. It's like yeah, you should name this, give them the cake, man, and let's move on. No, let us not. You know, This is irresponsible parents. You know, this they're I mean, I'm not throwing rocks at them or anything. I'm not trying to condemn them, but I'm just saying this is stupidity. It's irresponsible. If it's, yeah, like, you want to bury a hatchet? You know, don't bring up the name. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not just Hitler didn't kill like 20 people or 30 people. I mean, killed like a whole generation of people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree, Tom?
Thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say you own a grocery store. You know, and let's say there's a cake in there, you know, they in that grocery store, but a, you know, a bakery, and I said, hey, Tom, you know, I want you to put Charles Manson, my name, my guy, my, you know, whatever, my kid's name is Charles Manson. Would you do it knowing that Charles Manson is a, you know, did a hideous crime?
Well, see, this is where I'm a little different. I may not agree with naming the kid that, but I probably would put it on the cake.
Okay.
Just because, you know, they're customers and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're paying for the service, so, I, you know.
Right. I agree with you on that subject and also putting it in less spotlight. You know what I mean? That's what happened. They, you know, this guy is like, oh, I'm going to name my kid Hitler, Adolf Hitler, and one of these days the crowds are going to go nuts and crowds are going to, you know, people is going to start talking about my son, you know. So the newspaper that did an article on that put a spotlight into that situation, that case, and then it just went on like wildfire. And I would have like you said, Tom, I would have made a cake and said, hey, there you go, take it home, have a, you know, happy birthday, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think obviously it's the issue that the bakery didn't make the cake, but.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think this, you know, the whole story falls on the parents and why they would name their kid that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's, you know, let's talk to those parents. It's like, well, you know, what's in your mind, you know? What's your take on that, Don? I mean, I know you have, like, 7 kids and you know, you're big on names and all that. I mean, would you think twice before naming your kids, like, you know, a hideous name like that?
Well, that would be up to you. I remember you wanted to name our son Maximus, like, you know, like Maximus and stuff. But I prayed about it, you know, and Lord took care of that, and he worked with you. So that's that, and then so that would be your decision, and I would just have to accept it, you know, with God's help. And but as far as, like, would write the name on the cake, I think so, because, like, like you two said, it's their job. And also because, like, well, I go to our local grocery store, and I'm not so sure now if the, you know, I usually like the people to write, like, you know, may God bless you in Jesus' name for our kids'
mm-hmm.
birthday cake. And, like, the kind of little girl that, like, does it most of the time, she's kind of like, you know, so I don't really know
mm-hmm.
what her take is on Jesus, but she still does it. And I remember one time she wrote it in lowercase g, like, or may God bless you, lowercase g. So I asked her, I was like, could you write it with the uppercase this time? Because our kids noticed you wrote with the lowercase. So she did listen, though, and I don't know if she did that. She said, oh, I just normally write it with the lowercase g, is what she said. So, you know, but now she does write, like, with the uppercase g. So I think, so it's their job that, like, kind of like you said, too, to me, like, I mean, sometimes, like, part of your job is service, and whether
mm-hmm.
you agree with it or not, you still have to do it. Otherwise, you can't have a job.
Yeah. Now, Tom, I know you're planning to have, like, a dozen of kids. I mean, would you think twice? I mean, would you, like, really consider, like, naming your kids, you know, so you can get, you know, support for this kind of reason, for, like, attention-getter reason? Would you name a kid like that?
You know, that's got to be the only explanation, you know, is that the
mm-hmm.
parents want the attention.
Right.
I don't think I could ever name my kid that. Again, you know, all it is it's attention for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be perfectly happy with having John and Bob and Rob. Yeah, Tom Jr.
Tommy.
If there's a Tom Jr., the whole world would be in trouble.
Now, are you, I know, I don't, you know, the little boy is 3 years old, so I don't think he, you know, he goes to school yet and everything. And he's going to find out sooner or later, you know, that name, I mean, has, you know, has history attached to it.
Oh,
and I feel sorry for that little boy. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, I won't be surprised if he goes like, Dad, Mom, you know, I want to change my name. You know, he grows up. You know,
I mean, imagine what he's got to go through once he gets to high school.
Exactly. I mean, unless they're planning to homeschool the kid, you know,
yeah.
It's just, when he grows, there's a lot of analysts and the prediction is actually doing right now on this little boy, and it says, why will little Adolf Hitler be when he grows up? You know, and a lot of Germans is actually, you know, putting their analysts on. Putting their thoughts into it, and it's like, this boy is going to have a hard and rough, you know, childhood, high school.
Absolutely.
Because that name bears something, just like any name, you know, just like Tom Murphy, you know, I mean, that's your name, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things like when you say something like Madonna, you know, I mean, things pop out in your head, just like one, Jesus, you know, who's Jesus? Everyone knows who Jesus is. I mean, not everyone, but personally, I mean, you have to be personally known in order for you to get, you know, to know him. But this little kid, and they're trying to say that, I mean, there's a push right now that they're trying to, like, I don't know if they're families or not, but they're talking about, there's talks about, you know, convincing those parents to change his name. I mean, would you agree with them, Tom?
Well,
would you convince them to change his name?
I would strongly recommend it. You know, again, it's going to be up to the parents what they want to do. I don't know what their rationale is behind naming the kid Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
But, again, it's going to be a hard, you know, hard life for the kid. I would plead for the kid's sake to change the name.
For protection also. I mean, I know that there's got to be people out there outraged by this, you know, I know they know, you know, people would say, oh, it's not that big of a deal, but it will be when he grows up, when he starts going to school and meeting different nationality, you know, but a different perspective, you know, different political or religion, you know, and again, I agree with you on that, Tom. It's just got. I mean, could you imagine? It's just like, okay. I mean, would you? Let's say a guy that wanted to get a job and his name is Adolf Hitler. Would you hire him?
It'd be awful difficult.
like I'm an owner of establishment. It's like, all right, Tom. You know, who would be who you'd be sending? Oh, I have Adolf Hitler coming your way.
Yeah, Officer Hitler will be over there this evening.
Officer Hitler will be on your way. Yeah, he's he'll be there and guard your property. So it has to be running name thing. And you know, again, it goes back with this name thing. And you know, my name is Fernando. That's like a common in Mexico and in the Hispanic community. You know, I remember this one time going to one of the property, and I was sent out there to do a front desk. You know, and I've never been there, so I was like, hey, my name's Fernando, I'm here to work, you know, and then the front desk right away called the housekeeping and says, hey, you want a guy working here for you? I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to be working the front desk, not housekeeping. He's just, and he's just like, he totally like just, you know, turned beet red. He was just like, he didn't know what to say, because, you know, I don't blame him, you know, hey, Fernando, you must be a housekeeper.
Yeah.
Oh man, we only have a couple of minutes here to go, people. So, what's your final thought, Tom? Give me your final thought on your company and what you have to say.
Well, again, I'm very proud of the company. Yes, I didn't get a chance to say that before, but I'm very proud of the company and the way it's become. I think it's got the ability to become one of the best security and personal protection companies in the South Central Wisconsin area. We're looking to shoot for the stars, and hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Well, our prayers goes with that, Tom. That's a good thing, and we like. My wife and I like to associate ourselves with well known people with good background, and it's just the all around concept of being a good people. You know, Don, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Now I know Tom is. I know Tom is an expert of protection on offline. Do you have any things online to protect? I mean, for people, do you have anything for them
as far as
protecting people? You know, your online business instead of offline.
You can go to shopinsuperhighway.com and type in Alpha Shield, and it's a hardwire firewall. The only way people can hack into your computer is if they're actually sitting at your desk. So it's pretty nice. You can take it where you go to. If you have a laptop, you can use it with your regular desktop or your laptop. So shopinsuperhighway.com.
Alrighty, and this is it, Matt. Tom, thank you for being on my show, and I will podcast this and definitely distribute it to social media, MySpace and Facebook and all that, and I'm going to actually blog this. So keep an eye on it. Again, thank you for tuning in, and tomorrow I will be interviewing round two of Bill and Bob. Actually, you'll tune in here right about 9 or 10 o'clock, so I'll be here. Thanks a lot.